Lunch and Other Obscenities, a Star Trek reboot fic by Rihanna, read by Sophie Nisba. This is a gen fic focused on the friendship between Uhura and Gela, with some Spock, Uhura, and other pairings, and is rated PG-13. Yoda liked her roommate just fine, until she met her. She'd been at Starfleet Academy for less than a day, just long enough to enroll, collect her brand new cadet reds, download a vast amount of orientation material to her personal data pad, and then wander around the campus for most of the afternoon, experiencing a tiny thrill every time her freshly issued ID gave her access to a new building, library, or lab. Exploring turned out to be so much fun that it wasn't until the crowds had thinned out and the sun was dipping below the Golden Gate Bridge that Nyota realized the only place she hadn't been yet was her dorm room. She sat down on the steps of G Hall and thumbed on her data pad, scrolling through pages of documentation to find her room assignment. Starfleet Academy had adopted the practice of naming its student residences after great individuals in the histories of the Federation's founding members. And so Nyota was going to spend the next 4 years living in Surak with a cadet named Gela Uhu from Orion. The last detail made Nyota blink. Orion wasn't a member of the Federation. Although officially neutral, its continued practice of slavery and sentient trafficking meant that political relations were cool at best. Growing up in Nairobi, one of the largest centers of population on the African continent, Nyota had interacted with, or at least seen, representatives of literally hundreds of different species. But she couldn't remember ever meeting. Her train of thought stuttered to a halt as she realized she didn't even know the right word to use for an Orion native. An Orionite? Orioner? Well, she decided, that could be the first thing she asked to break the ice. And later, when they'd gotten to know each other a little better, Gela would tell Nyota why she'd chosen Starfleet instead of whatever the Orion equivalent organization was. And soon it'd feel like they'd known each other forever. It was going to be weird, Nyota thought, sharing a room with someone for the first time in her life. But she was sure she'd get used to it. And already she could picture the two of them borrowing each other's clothes and supporting each other through exam crises. She smiled at the idea, then stood up, dusted herself down, and set off briskly across the campus. The dorm, when she got there, was quiet. Most of the students had moved in earlier in the day and had already left for parties and mixers organized by their departments. But the indicator panel next to the door of room 3643 was glowing green, which meant, according to Academy Student Guide, that there was someone inside, but visitors were free to enter. Maybe, Nyota thought, Gela had decided to wait until she met her roommate before heading out to whatever social event the engineering faculty was hosting that night. It was a friendly gesture, and Nyota decided they were going to get along just fine. Then she walked into the room. Two naked people, one male in pink, one female in green, were enthusiastically having sex on one of the two beds. For a second, Nyota just stared. It was hard to do anything except stare. The tiny portion of her brain still functioning seemed to have determined that the aspect of the situation most urgently requiring analysis was how exactly Gela, it had to be, who else could the naked green woman be, had gotten her legs to bend like that. Because, wow, that was one hell of an obtuse angle. Fuck, Nyota said at last. She didn't swear often, but this instance hardly counted, she supposed, since technically it was a statement of fact. Gela turned her head and saw Nyota for the first time. Instead of looking embarrassed or even faintly perturbed, she smiled brightly. "Oh," she said, in between short, shallow gasps, "you must, be Nyota. Oh, we'll be done. In a second. Oh." With that, she tipped her head back and arched her spine and came with noisy abandon. Her partner made a couple more thrusts before he, too, gave a shudder and a satisfied grunt, and then slumped against Gela's chest, his head pillowed on one of her round, perfect breasts. "Oh, hey, what time is it?" Gela asked. Nyota answered, a distant and slightly hysterical part of her mind noting that she was the only one in the room wearing a watch. "It's 2000 hours." Gela frowned and said something that sounded like, "Chew," and slapped her partner lightly on the buttocks. "I have to get ready to go out. Come on, move." The guy made grumbling noises, but then Gela started to wriggle out from under him, making it impossible for him to stay where he was. He got up and stretched, wearing a dopey, contented smile. "Can I use your bathroom?" At that, something in Nyota snapped. "No! No, you can't use her bathroom, because it's my bathroom, too, and I haven't used it yet. Just go!" Touchy, the guy said, looking as if he might have been annoyed if he hadn't been too high on post-sex pleasure endorphins to care. He was still smiling as he ambled past Nyota to leave. Lowering his voice, he confided in a tone of utter sincerity, I love being in Starfleet. Out, Nyota ordered. The door closed behind him, and Nyota looked back to Gayla, who, still naked, was pinning her fire-colored curls into a tight knot at the back of her head. Do you mind if I shower first? I have to be somewhere in 20 minutes. The light was green, Nyota said, aware that it was a conversational non sequitur, but past the point of caring. Gayla's hands went still as she seemed to realize, for the first time, that all was not completely well. Well, yes? Green, Nyota repeated. Did you want me to walk in on you having sex? Not especially, Gayla said, sounding puzzled. She frowned. Are you annoyed we didn't ask you to join us? You know, I would have, except I'm a little pushed for time tonight. Deep breaths, Nyota thought. In and out. She wasn't some unsophisticated naive from one of the remoter human colonies. There'd been 3 Andorians and a Tellarite in her kindergarten class, and she knew exactly how you were supposed to deal with an unexpected clash of social norms. Very slowly, she said, My culture has strong taboos against sexual intercourse. Most Earth humans consider it a private act, and if you and I are going to share a room, I need you to respect that. Sure, right, Gayla said, but Nyota could tell she wasn't really listening. Her attention was focused on the small bag of toiletries which she was rooting around in, presumably in search of more hair clips. Didn't you read any of the pre-attendance orientation material the Academy sent you? Nyota asked. There's a whole section for off-worlders about Earth culture. I figured I'd work it out once I got here, Gayla said, working more clips into her hair. And everybody's been really nice so far. I just bet they have, Nyota thought sourly, thinking of the smirking male cadet. She dumped the duffel bag containing her belongings onto the floor and sat down on the bed that didn't have a damp patch. Her stomach growled, and she remembered that she'd gotten so caught up in exploring the campus, and then rushing back to the dorm to meet her roommate, that she'd missed her first dinner in the Academy canteen. She unzipped her bag and took out the container her mother had packed for her before she left home. At the time, Nyota had felt embarrassed at the thought of arriving at Starfleet Academy with a packed lunch made by her mom, but right now she was deeply grateful for it. She peeled back the lid, unclipped the spoon, and scooped up a generous quantity of her mother's homemade mbazi. The taste of it, the distinctive mix of sweet coconut milk and fiery chili, conjured memories of home, and when she blinked the moisture from her eyes, it wasn't entirely due to the spiciness of the dish. For a second, she wanted nothing more than to open her eyes and find herself having dinner with her parents, instead of sitting in a dorm room in San Francisco with an alien sex maniac. "What are you doing?" Nyota snapped her eyes open. Gayla was staring at her with an expression which was equal parts horror and disgust. Eating dinner? Nyota said around a mouthful of mbazi. It was ill-mannered to talk with her mouthful, but on the other hand, Gayla didn't seem to be big on personal boundaries, and a small and childish part of Nyota couldn't help thinking that if Gayla was a little offended, too bad. Except that Gayla didn't look like someone who was a little offended. She looked like someone who was hugely offended. She clapped her hand over her mouth in a gesture that seemed both emphatic and almost unconscious. Her eyes went comically wide, and her cheeks flushed dark until they were the color of moss. That, she said from behind her hand, is disgusting! That, Nyota said, swallowing, is my mom's cooking. She held out the mostly full container. Want some? You masticator! Gayla shrieked, backing away in revulsion. Which was how Nyota discovered that although Orion society had absolutely no taboos about sex, it had a lot of taboos about food and eating, and she'd just broken all of them. When Starfleet Academy's housing and accommodation officer, whose name, according to the sign on the door, was Diane Massa, arrived at her office the next morning, Nyota was already there, waiting. My roommate's a sex-crazed exhibitionist with a food phobia, Nyota told her. You have got to reassign me. Massa didn't react. She regarded Nyota for a moment with a coolly appraising gaze that seemed designed to silently communicate that she hadn't just seen everything. She'd seen everything plus some other shit as well, and therefore any attempt to shock a reaction out of her was doomed at the outset. Why don't you come in and we'll talk about it? she said. 10 minutes later, after Nyota had outlined the whole sorry story, Masa sat back in her chair and tipped her head to one side. You know, she said, Cadet Uhu is the only citizen of Orion currently enrolled at the academy. Attempting to sound conciliatory, Nyota said, And I know that's got to make things tough for her, Masa interrupted. There are 8 billion humans on this planet with whom you share a core homeworld culture. I'm thinking that means you probably don't know. I had to eat dinner outside. How tragic, Masa observed, her voice dry. Look, the only reason we're rooming together is because someone decided that the best phonetic rendering of her name in standard is almost the same as mine. Can't you just decide to spell Uhu with 2 O's instead? Nyota asked, desperate. Listen, Uhu, that works. Cadet Uhura, Masa said. If we could unilaterally change other people to suit us better, the galaxy would be a more peaceful but very boring place. Masa's gaze flickered down to the screen in front of her, which was currently displaying Nyota's extremely brief Starfleet file. I see you've chosen to specialize in communications. Yes. Then I suggest you consider this your first practical assignment. But, Masa held up a hand, if you still want to move in a month's time, come back and see me and I'll do it. But before you do, consider that in the course of your career, Starfleet will expect you to be able to live and work successfully with a lot of intelligent beings, all of whom come from different cultures than yours. In short, if you don't want to have to deal with people who aren't exactly like you, you're in the wrong job. Nyota blinked and said nothing. Starfleet's recruitment literature had had a lot to say about the role of the communications officer. It wasn't simply a matter of manning a glorified switchboard. The comms officer was also the ship's resident expert on non-Federation cultures, the person to whom the captain turned for guidance in sensitive situations. On deep space missions, the comms officer was often the closest thing a starship had to a trained diplomat. A communication specialist who ran away every time she came up against an unfamiliar culture wouldn't last very long. Nyota nodded slowly and stood up. I understand. Thank you for your time. Glad to help, Masa said easily. Oh, and Cadet Uhura, you might want to read some books about Orion history and culture. I believe the library has an excellent selection. Yes, Nyota thought as she walked down the hall, away from Masa's office. But I bet it doesn't have any recipe books. The negotiations which followed were tough. You will not carry on any kind of sexual activity while I am here, Nyota said. If you want to bring someone back to our quarters, you will let me know not less than 24 hours in advance so I can plan to be somewhere else. Gayla pouted and jabbed a finger at Nyota. Okay, but you have to agree not to eat or drink anything in the room. If you're not here, I'd still be able to smell it when I came back, Gayla said with clear distaste. When I'm here, you can't put anything in your, you know. She made big gestures, which seemed intended to indicate her mouth, without actually naming it. In front of me. I'm not going to step outside just to have a glass of water. You can go in the bathroom and close the door to do that, Gayla said, and then muttered under her breath, like civilized people do. All right, Nyota conceded. A few seconds of frosty silence passed. Do we have an agreement? I guess, Gayla said reluctantly, scowling. Good, Nyota said. She smiled, brittle and false. See, we're getting along better already. The next month passed without major incident, and when it was over, Nyota didn't go back to see Masa. It wasn't that she was getting on better with Gayla. The atmosphere in their room when they were both there was about as relaxed as the Federation-Romulan neutral zone, but they'd achieved a level of frosty mutual tolerance. If this was as good as it was going to get for the next 4 years, then Nyota figured she could manage. Once, coming back from the library late at night, she walked past the open door of one of the other dorm rooms and glimpsed 2 female cadets, a human and an Andorian, sitting side by side on one of the beds, laughing together at something one of them had just said. Nyota's throat felt strangely tight for a second, but she walked on quickly and tried not to think about it later. The truth was, between attending classes, training with the track and field team, studying at the library, and rehearsing with the Academy Choral Society, Nyota was hardly ever in the dorm anyway, and that suited everyone just fine. Things would have gone on like that indefinitely if the approaching senior midterms hadn't meant that the library suddenly got a lot busier, and Nyota, a lowly freshman, was displaced from her preferred spot on the upper level by a stressed-looking cadet who was revising for a stellar cartography final. She had no option but to start studying in the dorm room, which quickly led her to realize that Gayla was there almost every night, not studying or having improbably athletic sex, but just hanging about, lying on her bed and staring up at the ceiling. For the first week, Nyota just wished she'd find somewhere else to be, not least because it was annoying to have to get up and go into the bathroom every time she wanted to take a sip from her glass of water. In the middle of the second week, Nyota was loitering in the entrance hall of Surak residence, where she'd been banished with her cup of coffee, when a group of about 20 cadets went past, laughing and joking as they headed off campus together. Nyota recognized a couple of them from the cross-department mixers she'd gone to in the first weeks of the semester, and that, coupled with the snippets of conversation she could make out about dilithium conversation optimization and warp coefficients, led her to conclude the revelers were all engineering cadets. "Looks like your department group's going off campus for the night," she said when she got back to the room. Gayla was lying on her side on her bed, facing toward the wall. She made a vague noise of acknowledgement, but didn't move. "Fine," Nyota thought. "Be like that." "Aren't you going with them?" Nyota willed the answer to be yes. The idea of having their shared quarters to herself for an entire evening was deeply appealing. She could download a couple of movies from the entertainment server and then lie on her bed and eat popcorn and potato chips. She could get crumbs on the sheets if she wanted. It would be heaven. "They asked," Gayla said after a second. "I said no." Disappointment made Nyota's carefully cultivated veneer of politeness crack. "Why? Don't tell me it's because you have another hectic evening of lying around moping planned. If you broke up with someone, get over it already." "I didn't break up with anyone." "Then why don't you ever go out anywhere?" Nyota demanded, exasperated. Gayla rolled over onto her back, and Nyota realized with a shock that there were wet stains on her cheeks. She'd been crying. "Because all you people ever do is eat and drink. The others are all going out to eat that round cheese bread you all like so much." "Pizza," Nyota supplied automatically. "And after that, they're all going to go someplace to consume fermented beverages with hundreds of other people. And anyway, I don't even know any of the other engineering cadets that well, because they all made friends during that disgusting thing where they eat in front of each other." "We call that dinner," Nyota pointed out. But Gayla was still talking. "And I have to take this stupid pheromone suppression medication that gives me headaches all the time. And I miss my clan sisters. And I was so happy when I got into Starfleet. And it's nothing like I thought it would be. And I can't... I just... It wasn't supposed to be like this." There might have been more, but right then Gayla gave a hiccuping sob and started to cry, curling up on her bed until she was a tight ball of misery, bundled up in her cadet reds. For a minute or more, Nyota just stood there, unsure what to do. She wondered if she should go and get one of Gayla's friends, before realizing she wasn't sure who they were, or even if Gayla had any. Eventually, she went over to Gayla's bed and sat down beside her. When Gayla didn't respond, Nyota reached out a hand and gently patted her shoulder. "Hey now, it's okay." "No, it's not," Gayla said. She sounded resigned and defeated. "My clan matriarch was right. I should never have come here." Nyota's parents had been thrilled and proud when she had been accepted into Starfleet. Her choice had caused ripples of disapproval in some branches of the family. No one had expected the daughter of a sculptor and a composer to choose a career in the military. But Nyota's mother and father had supported her every step of the way, and Nyota suddenly wondered if she could have made it this far without their backing. She went to get a box of tissues and offered them to Gayla, who nodded her thanks and blew her nose noisily. "Listen, have you visited the DeYoung yet?" Nyota asked her. Gayla sniffled and then blinked at the apparent change of subject. "The art museum?" "No." "Then let's go together, you and me, right now. My semantics paper can wait until tomorrow." "I don't know," Gayla said uncertainly. "I'm not really into art." "Honestly, neither am I," Nyota told her. "But if I know one thing about art museums, it's that they don't let you eat or drink in the galleries." "All right," Nyota said. "Your turn." Gayla studied the canvas hanging on the wall in front of them. "Okay. I'm seeing a rock. A rock surrounded by giant floating triangles. They're probably symbolic floating triangles." Nyota put her head to one side and tried to make sense of the riot of colors and shapes in the picture. "What do you think they're symbolic of?" "I don't know," The artist's antagonistic relationship with geometric shapes, I guess. Maybe he was savaged by a rogue hexagon as a child. Yoda burst out laughing. The sound echoed loudly in the cavernous exhibition space, and she quickly stifled herself. She needn't have worried. It was late in the evening, and there were few other visitors for her and Gala to disturb. Their visit to the De Young, San Francisco's foremost art museum for more than 300 years, was turning out much better than she could have hoped. It had become very clear to Nyota, very quickly, that neither she nor Gala knew the first thing about art, and their stilted attempts to have sensible conversations about the works had swiftly degenerated into a kind of game where they tried to come up with ever more outrageous interpretations. Gala was better at it than Nyota. She had a gleeful, absurd sense of humor, and Nyota had spent more time laughing in the past few hours than she had since she'd started at the academy. "It's embarrassing that I know so little about this," Nyota remarked as they made their way to the next section of the exhibition. "My dad's a sculptor," she added in explanation. "What about the rest of your clan? Are any of them in Starfleet?" "One of my mom's cousins is, but I've never met him." "It's weird," Gala started, then broke off, probably worried that whatever she'd been planning to say would cause fresh offense. "What's weird?" Nyota prompted. Gala hesitated, then said, "You have clan you've never even met. At home, to live apart from your clan would be, well, you wouldn't do it unless you had no choice." Nyota thought about that. Gala had applied for Starfleet knowing that it would mean leaving her extended family for years at a time. No wonder there were so few Orions in the service. It couldn't have been an easy decision to make. "How big is a typical clan? How many people in yours?" "Mine is pretty small," Gala said. "Only 253. "There are four of us at home," Nyota said. "Well, three now. My sister moved out when she got married. I miss having her around." Holomessages and visits were nice, but it wasn't the same as having Alina in the room down the hall. The house had felt a little bit empty without her. "Yes," Gala said wistfully. "I miss my first circle and second circle siblings." Nyota wanted to ask more about how Orion clans worked, but before she could, Gala said, "Okay, I don't get this." Nyota followed Gala's gaze and found herself looking at a painting of a man and woman locked in passionate embrace. Only the couple's heads and parts of their arms were visible. The rest of their bodies were swaddled by a richly patterned cloth which enveloped them in sensuous folds. One of the woman's hands was placed on top of the hand of the man, which cupped her cheek, and the other hand was just visible, curling around the back of his neck, drawing him closer as she turned her face up, eyes closed, to allow his mouth to meet hers. "That's a pretty famous painting," Nyota said. "It's by a 20th century artist, Gustav Klimt. It's called The Kiss." "I don't understand how you can have so many taboos about sex, but put pictures like this in a museum and encourage people to come and look at them," Gala said. Her brow was furrowed in frustration. "If your society just didn't want to talk about sex, well, it'd be weird, but at least it'd be simple. But you don't. Why is it okay to put pictures like this on display and make holovid stories which are all about people having sex and then arguing about having sex and then having more sex, but it's not okay to walk up to someone and ask them if they want to have sex?" Nyota couldn't help wincing. "You did that?" "Oh," Gala sighed in a way that Nyota figured meant the answer was probably yes. "I don't get it," she said again. "It's just sex. It's fun and it feels good, and I just don't get why it's such a big deal for your species." Nyota opened her mouth to offer an explanation and abruptly realized she didn't have one. "It's like there's a whole set of rules everyone here knows," Gala concluded. "And every time I think I've gotten them worked out, something else happens, and I realize I don't." Nyota was quiet for a moment, thinking about what it would have been like if she'd had to go to Orion to join Starfleet Academy. What it would have been like to be the only human on an entire planet. Maybe people would have been friendly to her at first and invited her along to their getting-to-know-you orgies, but she would have had to say no, because it would have been too strange and uncomfortable to abandon the beliefs and social norms she'd grown up with. Eventually, Nyota supposed, people would have stopped asking and just left her alone. "You know," she said slowly, "if there are things you want to ask about, you can't ask me." Gala looked away, and her expression became shuttered. "Yeah, well, I wouldn't want to accidentally offend you." Nyota shifted uncomfortably. "I guess I kind of overreacted that first day. I guess I did too, Gayla said. They were both quiet for a second. Then Yoda said, Don't look now, but there's a still life with fruit on the wall behind you. Gayla made a face. At home, you'd have to get written permission from the Minister of Culture to look at that kind of thing. Come on, Yoda said. Let's go find where they keep the nudes. Kissing in public? Gayla asked. Yoda thought for a second. Okay, usually. Kissing on cheeks and hands and closed mouths is fine. Kissing with open mouths might attract some attention. Gayla nodded and used her stylus to scribble something on her data pad, the tip of her tongue poking out from between her lips in concentration. And public sex? No. No, no, and definitely no. Gayla's hand paused. Oops. Yoda winced. Where? We might need to study in another library for a while. Yoda grabbed the pillow from her bed and threw it across the room. I like the anthropology library. Gayla caught the pillow and slipped it neatly behind her head as she flopped back on her bed. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to avoid the planetary sciences labs, too. In retaliation, Yoda opened the drawer of her bedside locker and took out the apple she kept there for just these situations. She bit into it, crunching loudly. Gayla made retching noises. Ew! That's revolting! I feel sick! Yoda grinned and took another bite. Gayla, of course, didn't eat meals in the Academy mess. She had alternative arrangements, which Yoda, wisely, hadn't inquired about. She suspected to do so would be roughly equivalent to asking someone their favorite masturbation techniques. But even though Gayla wasn't there to express her disgust at the custom of communal eating, Yoda must have been starting to empathize with her, just a little bit, because somehow mealtimes just weren't the same anymore. It was little things, really, tiny details that would have slipped by her a few months ago. Like the command track cadet who always sat at the table by the window and talked with his mouth full, so that Yoda could see tiny flecks of spit and food flying from between his lips, glinting in the bright shafts of sunshine. Or the bearded cadet who invariably got morsels of his lunch trapped in the cleft between his nose and upper lip. Even the neat-eaters somehow unsettled her. The Aurelian female, for example, who spent twice as much time cleaning her mandibles after a meal as she did actually eating it. These days, Yoda was a lot more choosy about who she sat with at lunch. Do you mind if I join you, Commander Spock? He was sitting at a table by himself at the most distant end of the mess hall. She would have expected the Academy's sole Vulcan instructor to stand out from the crowd, both for his heritage and the fact that in a sea of red-uniformed cadets, he was wearing the uniform of a commissioned officer. Yet Spock, self-controlled and self-contained, seemed to melt into the background. If he hadn't been the instructor of the senior phonology class, which Nyota had already decided was on her list of must-take courses, she wouldn't have glanced twice in his direction. She wondered if he was eating alone by choice or because most people found making small talk with a Vulcan hard work. But the only other free seat Yoda could find was at a table where a Borellian was eating live slime worms by sucking them out of their skins. And Yoda felt that if there wasn't a taboo about doing that in public, there damn well should be. Spock looked at her, his expression mild. There is no reserved seating. You may eat wherever you wish. It would not be logical for me to raise an objection. Yoda decided to take that as a yes. She sat down opposite him. The other four seats at the table were empty. She started to eat her salad, noting with relief that the Vulcan was just as tidy an eater as she thought he would be, using his knife to neatly dissect the selection of lightly grilled vegetables on his plate before putting them in his mouth with the precision of a military operation. Is something wrong, Cadet? Uh-oh. Yoda realized she'd been staring. I'm sorry, she said. My roommate's Orion. They have some weird social taboos about eating, and I think it's rubbing off on me. Your use of the word weird implies a value judgment on your roommate's culture, which is inappropriate. I understand Orion society does not share the sexual taboos exhibited in the majority of galactic cultures. Doubtless there are aspects of human society which appear strange to an Orion. You can say that again, Yoda said. Spock arched one eyebrow. Was my phrasing unclear? No, it's a... Yoda broke off. It's just an expression. I was agreeing with you. Ah, I see. Spock continued to talk, while deftly slicing the larger pieces of vegetable on his plate into evenly shaped and sized chunks. Consider, for a moment, the similarities between the consumption of food and sexual activity, Both are necessary biological functions. Both are a source of physical pleasure. And both are kind of gross if you really stop to think about what they actually involve. Spock paused. If Nyota hadn't known better, she could almost have classed the look on his face as one of amusement. There is certainly some merit in that proposition. So you're saying that either all cultural taboos are weird or none are? I am saying that it is difficult to conduct successful diplomatic relations with other species if you consider their cultural norms so ridiculous as to be unworthy of consideration. Nyota nodded slowly, thinking that through. You have to understand the culture, not just the language. The universal translator makes it easy to translate the literal meaning of words in one language into another, but it doesn't tell you anything about the cultural context behind them. Correct. The universal translator is by no means complete or infallible. It will often give a single translation in standard to a group of words which have differently nuanced meanings in the original language. For example, this dish of Vec I'm eating. He gestured at the plate in front of him. On Vulcan, it would be made with 6 different types of root. The recipe used by the Academy kitchen substitutes a single one, as the names of all 6 varieties are translated into standard with the same term. The result is, he paused, then concluded, somewhat unsatisfactory. I hear there's a great Vulcan restaurant in the Hate, Nyota said, and instantly regretted it, because that had sounded like she was flirting with him. And yes, underneath that severe haircut and sharply angled eyebrows, he was an attractive man, but he was also an officer and a Vulcan. What was she thinking? Quickly, she said, I'm sorry, Commander. I didn't mean to give you offense. But Spock just looked faintly puzzled. Why would I be offended by your recommendation of a restaurant? Nyota exhaled in relief. No reason. Apparently what most people took to be Vulcan superciliousness was actually just a certain unfamiliarity with Earth's social norms. Maybe Spock, in his own way, was as baffled by human customs as Gala was. His meal finished, Spock stood up, lifting his tray to return it to the busing station. I have an appointment at 1400 hours. I must take my leave. Of course, Nyota said, and then she added, I hope I didn't disturb your lunch. On the contrary, Spock said as he stood up to leave. I found our discussion most stimulating. Thank you for your company. Ooh, Gala said. He thinks you're stimulating. She was lying next to Nyota on the towels they'd laid out on the roof of Surak residence. Strictly speaking, the roof was off limits, but there were no active security feeds up here. Nyota was propped up on one elbow, going through the notes she'd taken on her electronic data pad that day, adding tags and categories for easy reference later. Gala, just back from swim team practice, was painting her toenails a bright shade of blue. Her damp red hair fell in loose twists onto her bare shoulders. She'd taken off her swimsuit to let it dry in the sun and hadn't bothered putting anything else on instead. No sexual taboos seemed to mean no taboos about nudity either. It had been a little disconcerting at first, but after a while, Nyota had found she'd almost stopped noticing. The same couldn't be said for most of the Academy's other cadets, males and a significant proportion of females. And so, outside of their shared room, Gala had reluctantly restricted her naturist tendencies to the dorm roof. Gala was smirking knowingly. Nyota flicked her bare leg with the corner of her towel. Shut up. But Gala wasn't going to be put off that easily. Do you want to have sex with him? No, Nyota said at once. Gala gave her a look. Nyota sighed. She was fast learning that Gala had an infallible bullshit detector when it came to all aspects of sexual attraction. It was probably the result of not having to think through the obfuscating layers of human social influence. Okay, yes, maybe a little. But it doesn't usually work like that in my culture. We have to at least have dinner first. Sorry, she added, as Gala winced and Nyota realized what she'd said. In an attempt to change the subject, she asked, shouldn't you be using sunblock? No way, Gala said. I'm trying to get more exposure to sunlight, not less. I'm not photosynthesizing enough as it is. Nyota opened her mouth to reply, then stopped and mentally rewound that sentence and replayed it in her head. You photosynthesize? What did you think this was, green paint? Gala asked, slapping her thigh. It's chlorophyll? Nyota said, incredulous. Wait a second, I thought Orions were mammalian. We are. It's a symbiotic relationship. I'm part moss at the cellular level. I get about a quarter of my energy needs directly from sunlight. That's why you spend so much time naked, Yoda realized. That, and I happen to like it. Gayla stretched out a little more, so that every possible part of her skin was bathed in the rich late-afternoon sunshine. She looked drowsy and content, the way humans might after a good meal, and Yoda wondered what it felt like to draw the sun's energy directly into your body, through your skin. No wonder Orions had taboos about eating. It must seem so messy and inefficient compared to this. Gayla rolled onto her front and started to paint her fingernails, humming happily to herself as the sun warmed the small of her back. So, you want to have sex with the cute Vulcan. That only leaves one other relevant question. Does he want to have sex with you? I don't know. I've only talked to him once. You could just ask him. He's a Vulcan, Yoda said. They're even weirder about sex than humans are. Do you know Starfleet Medical doesn't teach Vulcan reproductive biology? Vulcan High Command won't let them. Vulcans probably don't even know where baby Vulcans come from. Why does everyone in this corner of the galaxy have so many hang-ups about sex? Gayla waved the nail varnish brush in hand to emphasize her point. You'd all be a lot happier if you just got over yourselves. Oh, chew it, she swore, as a glob of blue polish dropped off the end of the brush and landed on the towel. Says the woman who thinks lunch is obscene, Yoda said. Two words, macaroni cheese, Gayla replied. I rest my case. But having sex with Spock, or even having dinner with him, or even just getting to know him a little better, was a theoretical problem rather than a practical one, because right after that, he vanished. He disappeared from his regular spot in the mess hall, and after a week, a group of noisy Tellarites claimed it. Yoda didn't give it a lot of thought until she discovered, by way of an overheard conversation between two fourth-year phonology students, that he hadn't turned up to teach his classes for several weeks, and another instructor had taken over. She made some discreet inquiries, but no one seemed to know what had happened. When 3 weeks had gone by, and Yoda still hadn't seen Spock or found out what the problem was, she decided to take matters into her own hands. She waited outside the lecture hall where the senior phonology class took place and watched the final year cadets file out past her. When the last of them had gone, she went in. The substitute professor, a blue-skinned, bald-headed Bolian, was tidying away his teaching materials. First-year linguistics is in the other lecture hall, he said as Yoda approached him. I know, Yoda said. Actually, I wanted to ask about Commander Spock. I heard he handed over his classes, and I was wondering... She hesitated. I was wondering if he was okay, felt like too personal an inquiry to make about someone she barely knew. I'm hoping to take his phonology course next semester, and I wanted to know if he's still going to be teaching it. If I knew, I'd tell you, the professor said, his attention mostly on the electronic planner he was holding in his hand. Mr. Spock is unwell and has been for several weeks. That was a surprise. Yoda couldn't imagine a Vulcan laid up with the flu or its equivalent. Is he getting treatment? Oh, yes. Yoda felt a weird little jump of relief, which immediately went away as he went on. The doctors on his home planet will know what to do, I'm sure. He has to go back to Vulcan? The response was a shrug. You know Vulcans. They've got a secretive streak a mile wide about their biology. And while your concern is touching, cadet, I suggest it would be better directed toward your studies. And with that, he hurried out of the room, frowning at his scheduler. Yoda had only been in Starfleet Academy's teaching hospital once, when she'd had her pre-enrollment medical exam, and she had to stop several times to ask the Med Center computer for directions, which it gave her in its calm, emotionless female voice. When Yoda finally located the right room, she stopped at the nurse's station before going in. I'm here to see Commander Spock. Well, you're the first, the nurse said. Go on in, he's awake. Spock was sitting up in bed when Yoda came into his room. He didn't look surprised. Surprise, Yoda was sure, was on the Vulcan emotional no-no list. But he did raise an eyebrow. Cadet, this is unexpected. Please take a seat. He gestured at the seat next to the bed. The movement was weirdly clumsy and uncoordinated. He really was sick, Yoda realized. She sat down, noticing how bare the room seemed without any of the get-well cards or small gifts, which would have been normal in a hospital room occupied by a sick human. How are you? This is the first time I have been ill since infancy, and I confess I am not finding the experience pleasant, Spock said. He sounded so peevish that Yoda had to smile. No one likes being sick. Indeed. I heard you're going back to Vulcan. Yoda said. Will you be back next semester? I do not know. If I am successfully diagnosed and cured, I shall certainly return. However, my physiology is unique and presents certain complexities not found in other Vulcans. My illness has coincided with my first lengthy period of absence from Vulcan. Logic suggests that is not by chance. You think something in the environment on Earth is making you unwell? An allergen? Or the lack of something, perhaps, Spock said. If either scenario is true, I may have to reconsider my future career. It will be difficult to serve in Starfleet if I cannot leave Vulcan for any length of time. There would be a certain irony inherent in that outcome. He half closed his eyes as he spoke. He looked, she thought, as though he had hardly any strength, and his face was slack and expressionless. His tone, though, was one of weary resignation tinged with bitterness, and it told her everything she needed to know. Spock must have realized it, too, because he said, "You must forgive me, cadet. I am finding emotional discipline somewhat difficult to achieve at the moment." Privately, Nyota thought it was okay to lose some emotional discipline when you were facing the possible end of your career for medical reasons. "I must ask you to leave now so that I can rest," Spock said. "My stamina is greatly reduced." "Of course," Nyota said, and stood up to leave. At the door, she paused. "I enjoyed having lunch with you. When you come back next semester, maybe we could do it again." "That would be acceptable," Spock said. He opened his eyes. "I do not believe you have yet told me your name." "Nyota Uhura." "Your visit was not required, Cadet Uhura. However, it was welcome." Nyota smiled. "I'm happy to know that, Mr. Spock." Nyota stopped walking and scanned the landscape ahead of them, feeling tiny and insignificant under the vast sky. "Are you sure this is the right way?" Gail appeared at the map she was holding. Maybe? Let me see that." Nyota took the map and studied it, then pulled her compass out of the pocket of her field jacket and checked the direction they were heading. "We should go that way," she said, pointing. "Oh, great, up another hill," Gail said with a sigh. "Be honest, aren't you just a little bit tempted to use your communicator to call base camp and tell them we're lost and need a transport back?" "That's an automatic fail," Nyota pointed out. "You know, I think I could live with that." "They'd make you do it again. You can't pass first year without being able to navigate unfamiliar terrain unassisted. What would you do if you were assigned to a landing party on your first posting?" "Follow someone who knew where they were going," Gayla said, and Nyota laughed. "Come on, we'll take a break at the top." Gayla grumbled, but followed, and another half-hour's hiking brought them to the top of the ridge. From here, the view was superlative. Earth was a crowded planet, but right here, in the middle of Yellowstone Park, it was easy to believe that they were explorers on a new and pristine world. Nyota shivered at the thought and wondered how much more powerful that feeling must be when you knew it was the truth and not pretense for the purpose of a training exercise. While Gayla sat down on a flat-topped rock to rest, Nyota pulled out her water bottle and took a drink, taking care to turn away so Gayla couldn't see her. Her stomach growled. They'd been hiking and climbing since early in the morning, and they still had a distance to cover. "This is a great spot for a picnic," she said without thinking. "Picnic?" Of course Gayla wouldn't know the term. Nyota winced a little as she realized she'd have to explain it. "It means eating a meal outdoors." Gayla shook her head. "That's depraved," she said, but she sounded more amused than disgusted. That gave Nyota enough confidence to bring up the awkward subject of lunch. She shrugged off her backpack, opened it, and pulled out foil-wrapped field rations. "Speaking of depraved..." "Yeah," Gayla said, "me too," which Nyota had learned was as close as she'd get to admitting to feeling hungry. Gayla opened up her backpack and took out an identical packet of foil-wrapped rations, handling it with the kind of discomfort more usually associated with armed sonic grenades. She turned it over a couple of times without opening it. That was her cue to go somewhere else, Nyota thought. She looked around and saw a boulder a short distance away. It was large enough that she'd be hidden if she sat on its other side, and it had the added advantages of providing shade from the sun and shelter from the breeze. "I'll be back in 10 minutes," she said as she stood up. From behind her, Gayla said, "You don't have to go." Nyota stopped and turned around, thinking she must have somehow misheard that. But Gayla was still holding her foil-wrapped rations, and although her expression was uncomfortable and uncertain, Nyota knew she hadn't misunderstood. The day we went to the art museum, Gayla said softly, I decided to quit and go home. My clan mother didn't want me to join Starfleet. Before I left, she gave me a big lecture. She told me that humans were all wicked masticators, that they'd make me take drugs to alter my body chemistry, that they thought all Orions were slaves or slave traders and hated us for it. Gayla gave a half shrug and a rueful smile. I thought she was trying to scare me, but then I got here and I found out she was pretty much right about all of it. The part she didn't tell me is that clan is whoever you decide it is, and it's okay to eat with clan, so eat with me. Yoda couldn't answer for a second as she took in what Gayla was offering her. Then, slowly, she said, If you're okay with it. I'm okay with it, Gayla said. Yoda nodded and came back to sit next to Gayla on the flat-topped rock. She waited until, slowly and with great care, Gayla started to unwrap her field rations, and only then unwrapped her own, following the label's instructions to activate the self-heat function. The tub hummed in her hands, and when she unclipped the lid a minute later, the savory smell that wafted up to greet her made her mouth water. It wasn't restaurant quality, but after a morning's physical exertion, it didn't need to be. It was hard to resist the temptation to dig in right away, but Nyota made herself wait until she saw Gayla using a slim implement to spear something in her own ration tub. She started to lift it out, and Nyota watched just long enough to glimpse a small, white cube that looked a little like tofu. She looked away before Gayla put it in her mouth, and didn't look again. She was ravenously hungry, but she made herself eat in small mouthfuls, chewing and swallowing as quietly as possible. They sat side by side and ate their meals in silence, sitting under the sun in a wilderness on the most densely populated planet in the Federation, and Yoda thought it was both the strangest and the most normal thing she'd ever done. After she'd finished eating, Yoda packed away her empty ration tub. When she looked up again, Gayla was settling back onto the rock, tilting her face up to the open sky. How much further do we have to go? Yoda consulted the map. Another 20 clicks. Better keep my energy levels up, Gayla said. She started to take off her jacket and then said, Mind if I... Yoda waved her hand. Sure. Less than a minute later, Gayla was basking in the sun, every inch of her chlorophyll-tinged skin exposed from the roots of her hair to the soles of her feet. Ooh, she said happily. That's nice. I swear, the quality of light's better out here. She wiggled her toes. Will you see Spock again before he leaves? I doubt it. The Carolina leaves for Vulcan today. He's probably going to be on it. Well, that sucks, Gayla said with feeling. It was a standard colloquialism she'd adopted with enthusiasm, although Nyota suspected that it had slightly different connotations when Gayla used it. Yes, Nyota agreed. She felt a stab of something like regret at the thought that she probably wouldn't see Spock again, which was weird, considering she really didn't know him. But even in their brief conversations, she'd found herself warming to him, and she was sorry she wasn't going to get a chance to know him better. It was weird how things worked out sometimes, tiny twists of chance that sent lives spinning in new directions. If Gayla's name had been spelled differently in Standard, if Masa had agreed to assign Nyota a different room when she'd asked, if Spock didn't have to give up his career before it even started because there was something about Earth that made him ill. Or the lack of something, perhaps. Nyota froze. She stared at Gayla, long enough and hard enough to make even an Orion self-conscious. Nyota, is something wrong? Nyota raised a finger and pointed it at Gayla. If you didn't get enough exposure to sunlight, you'd get sick. Well, yes, Gayla said. Light deficiency's pretty common. You get tired and moody, and you have to increase your exposure until you start to get better. Nyota stood up. I know what's wrong with Spock, she said excitedly. Come on, we have to get back, right now. I'm going to call in and request an immediate beam out. She took out her communicator. Wait! Gayla scrambled to her feet. We'll have to do this again! You said you didn't mind. That was before I thought I was actually going to have to do it. Gayla, Yoda broke off. Think how you would have felt if you'd had to give up Starfleet. For a second, Gayla looked torn. Then she nodded. Fine, I can cope with one failed class, I guess. But you're going to explain this to me, right? Later, there's no time, Nyota said, flicking her communicator to the emergency channel, the one they'd been instructed only to use if they needed to abort the field exercise. The Carolina could be leaving orbit right now. Okay, but you seriously owe me for this, Gayla said, crossing her arms resolutely. She frowned. What are you waiting for? You just said there's no time. There's always time to put on clothes, Gayla. Oh, Gayla said. Right. 1 week later. May I join you, Cadet Uhura? Yoda looked up from her meal and saw Spock standing on the other side of the table in the Academy mess. It wouldn't be logical for me to object, she said. Spock looked at her, and for a second Yoda wondered if she was going to have to explain friendly teasing to him. But then he nodded, set his tray down, and took a seat opposite her. You're looking a lot better than when I last saw you, she told him. And it was true. A week ago, he'd been lying in a hover bed, about to be transported to the Carolina and off Earth. I am still feeling somewhat lethargic, Spock said, but my condition is improving daily. He produced a small bottle, which he unscrewed. He tipped it up and poured a small measure of the contents, a viscous green fluid, into a spoon, and then swallowed it down. Yoda was sure that the faint grimace he wore as he did so wasn't just her imagination. Even Vulcans didn't like taking their medicine. She pushed her untouched glass of fruit juice across the table, offering it to him. Here, drink something to take the taste away. He accepted the glass and took a drink from it. It is remarkable that the lack of a single amino acid should have such a profound effect on the health of the body. He paused for a second. I might add that I am greatly impressed that a cadet majoring in communications was able to reach a correct diagnosis where qualified physicians had failed. I got lucky, Yoda said. And anyway, I didn't reach a medical diagnosis. I just figured out that you had a translation problem. Spock arched an eyebrow. That is one way of describing it. If I had realized that the lack of accurate translations of specific ingredients in Vulcan dishes was causing the Academy kitchens to prepare food lacking in one of the compounds essential to my health, I would have perhaps lodged more vigorous complaints regarding the quality of the food. Yoda looked at him for a second, trying to decide if that really was what it sounded like. A joke. Spock's face was perfectly impassive. Then again, she thought, who else could play the perfect straight man but a Vulcan? Then again, Spock continued, a full Vulcan would not have suffered the same extreme effects of the deficiency that I did, and while doctors were diligent, they cannot be faulted for not having access to full information regarding Vulcan physiology. Perhaps the lesson to take from the experience is that more communication between different cultures is always desirable. Yes, Yoda agreed. So I've discovered. Which brings me to the purpose of this conversation, Spock went on. Cadet Uhura, I owe you a great debt of gratitude. Yoda shook her head. The doctors on Vulcan would have figured out what was wrong with you pretty quickly, once you were back there. But not before I would have been forced to give up my post at the Academy, at least for the remainder of this academic year. I am, as I say, most grateful. He paused. I have been speaking to your roommate, Cadet Uhu. Uh-oh, Yoda thought. She tried to imagine an encounter between Spock and Gayla and failed to come up with any scenario that didn't end in toe-curling embarrassment for all concerned. You have? She asked finally, in as neutral a tone as she could manage. I asked her what she thought an appropriate gesture of thanks might be. Oh, no. Yoda tried not to wince. She took a breath. You know, in Orion culture, it's very normal to express emotions through, physical relations. Spock said, she suggested I should ask you out to dinner. Yoda stopped. Dinner? I am reliably informed that there is an excellent Vulcan restaurant in the city. Spock's face was grave, but there were tiny creases at the corners of his eyes. He was amused, Yoda thought. He was totally laughing at her. It is called the Yemtuk Nartori. In standard, it means acceptable food, Yoda translated. Of course it was called that. What else would a Vulcan restaurant be called? All at once, it was too much. She giggled, and when she put a hand to her mouth to stifle the sound, she only succeeded in turning it into a half snort. I'm sorry, Commander Spock, she said, when she could speak without laughing. He was looking at her quizzically. A fit of the giggles was probably no more strange to him than any of the other displays of emotion he was forced to contend with on a daily basis. We're all weird, aren't we? Humans, Vulcans, Orions, all of us, with our strange customs we can't explain, even to ourselves. But we keep trying to understand each other anyway. Isn't that strange, isn't it? She broke off, unable to think of the right word. Personally, Spock said,
I have always found it quite marvelous.
Marvelous, Nyota agreed. She leaned forward and put her elbows on the table, resting her chin on her hands. Mr. Spock, let's do lunch. The end. This has been a recording of Lunch and Other Obscenities by Rihanna. If you'd like to leave feedback for the author or for me, you can find the links at my journal, sophinisba.dreamwith.org/tag/podfic. Thank you for listening.